Welcome to the Knit More Girls podcast, a multi-generational knitting production. This is episode 701 and is sponsored by Knit Companion, Erin Lane Bags, and Oink Pigments. This week's segments include
On the Needle,
Events,
Mother Knows Best,
When Knitting Attacks, Knit More, Know More,
and so on. Grab your knitting, pull up a chair, and start your row.
Welcome, welcome. If this is your first time listening to the podcast, welcome to the show. And if you are a returning listener, thank you very much for coming back. My name is Jasmine, and my pronouns are she, her, and hers.
My name is Gigi, and my pronouns are she, her, and hers.
Today is Sunday, January 15th, and we are recording on the unceded lands of the Tamien Ohlone Tribal Ethnohistoric Territory and the unceded ancestral lands of the Muwekma Ohlone Tribe of the San Francisco Bay Area. Ooh, it's been a week.
It has.
A wet week?
Yes, it's raining.
It's raining pouring. Rain.
And the ground is rejoicing. Some places more than others.
Yeah. But because of the rainy weather, we've got some fun stuff to talk about. Shall we move on to the knitting?
Yes.
Mother dearest.
Lovey.
What have you got going this week? What have you been doing this week, I should say, rather?
Let me tell you what's missing.
What's missing?
I have no socks on the needles.
Well, it's not because you're out of sock yarn.
No. I'm out of room for socks for myself.
Okay.
And I think I ran out of all of the sock yarn for Andrew that I have.
You couldn't have.
Well, then you guys need to find the rest of your sock yarn.
I know exactly where it is.
Give it to me.
You got it.
Thank you. Yeah, I was thinking I need another victim to knit socks for.
I can hear everyone of the listeners shouting over each other, I volunteer as tribute.
Okay.
So I'm sure you'll be able to find someone to make socks for.
Yes.
Okay, so
Well, Sam doesn't want them because he overheats.
Yeah, because of where we live.
He's a guy. He's
yes,
warmer.
Yes, that too. Some guys are, some guys aren't.
So I need to see if I can find a new victim.
Okay. Best luck.
Thank you. What have you been working on?
Well, I started and finished the wide plaid wrap for you, which I wove on my shacked flip loom with Tess Yarn's Silk Chenille.
I should model that for the picture.
You should, because I did the second to last step of the finishing on the plaid one this morning, which was finishing tying the knots on the fringe. And I finished the knots last night. I did the fray checking on the knots this morning. And so the fray check is drying. I'm going to run a blocking load and send it through the spinner. And then you can have it once it's dry. And I'll take pictures.
Okay.
And then they're all yours forever and ever.
Excellent.
And you watched me do some of the weaving.
I did.
Yeah, it's pretty quick. So while I've been kind of on a roll with the weaving, because I knocked out two wraps in under 2 weeks for you.
Yes.
And the weaving seriously took like one day.
You said it's faster than knitting.
Oh my goodness, it's so much faster than knitting. And while I'm kind of on this roll with the wraps, and I had a plan, because I also bought yellow silk chenille because it goes with black and gray to use the leftovers from yours. Because like I said last week, one wasn't quite enough and two was way too much. But if I got two of each, everything worked out deliciously.
Yes.
So your two are finished, except for the blocking, which I'm doing today. And I pulled the yellow out and I need to wash that because I guess I didn't wash all the yarn at the same time. I washed the black and the gray to make sure nothing bled, but then I just didn't wash the yellow. So I'm going to be doing a little bit of stuff where I have to wash yarn in the back to make sure it doesn't bleed.
Right.
Because if the yellow bleeds onto the gray, it will be unsightly.
Yeah.
So I'm excited about that because I'm just, this is the possibly the slowest way of cleaning up my garage or going through my yarn collection. But I kind of feel like it's the ideal way, is to just power through and make stuff that I'm excited about and then give it to the people.
That's always good.
And I don't normally make things for other people, for people that are new to the podcast. If you're a new listener, I don't make things for other people normally. That's not something I enjoy doing. I like to make things for myself. Well, that's not true. I make things for people I've made. I knit for the kids.
Yes.
So I make for the kids too, because I'm sewing a shirt for Rex and all that good stuff. But I'm really enjoying making these for you, because they're going to be delicious and warm and luxe. And as part of that, I was just like, I should just use the leftovers for myself. Melinda from Tess Yarns does a great yellow.
Mm-hmm.
And I was holding it in my lap, and the color by itself just makes me so happy. So yeah, I'm working on that. And I tied a few other skeins of stuff that needed to be washed so I can swatch with it.
Mm-hmm.
For a couple of other projects that I've had kind of in the hopper. So I'm excited about that. But yeah, I was just thinking about how quick it was. I've been warping it in less than an hour-ish, mm-hmm. or doing most of it in less than an hour. And then I do the slaying, and that's pretty quick. And the weaving is very
what
quick.
What is slaying?
It's when you pull it through the holes. So when you are threading...
What are we threading?
The... thingy. Oh my gosh, what is the name of it?
So what are you, what kind of loom
the
are
shed?
You working on?
I'm working on a shacked flip rigid heddle loom.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's called the shed on a mm-hmm. normal, on a floor loom with treadles or levers or whatever. And you basically use it as the reed and...
The beater.
I'm sorry, the beater and the heddles. So the heddles are the things that you put the yarn through.
Mm-hmm.
And says how it's organized. Mm-hmm. So when you lift some up and put some down, it changes the pattern.
Right.
So on the flip, you can do up to four if you have two of those doodads. But I have not gotten there yet because I haven't gotten there yet. Right now, I'm still playing with just stuff that you can do with two settings.
Okay.
And colors and things like that. And I'm really enjoying that part of the process. And like just the prep is not as, it's not as horrible as you would think. Because everyone's like, ugh, warping. And I do agree, conventional warping feels like that for me. Because like doing the math and the way you wrap it and all of those things. If you make a mistake early on,
mm-hmm.
you don't catch it until much later.
Mm-hmm.
Which I am not into at this moment. So right now, my rigid heddle looms are filling exactly the need that I want or that I have. And I really like that they fold basically flat and get put away very small. The footprint in the garage is extremely small.
Of the loom.
Of the loom, yeah. Because I bought the stand for it as well. And my flip trap came, which is the little doodad that you put your shuttles in.
Flip trap?
It's like a hammock that goes onto your loom. And when you have a shuttle that's not working currently, it mm-hmm. rests in there instead of being like in your lap or falling on the floor.
Okay.
Which has made my life so much easier,
mm-hmm.
particularly because of how much I have been weaving over the last couple of weeks. So I have a couple of things that I want to finish off on the loom before it goes back into the, for me, and possibly one other thing because Genevieve wants to play on the loom.
Excellent.
Yeah. So maybe I'll leave it out for her and help her set it up and get her going on
that. She wants to work on the big loom?
She said she wants to work on the big loom.
Show her the little one too.
She knows. She made a scarf on that one. I think the reason she wants to work on the big loom
mm-hmm.
is because I was working on the big loom.
Okay.
And I understand that feeling.
Mm-hmm.
And I will support it and I will help her get there.
Mm-hmm.
I've given her a couple of options because mm-hmm. I said, well, what do you want to weave? And she said, I don't know. I just want to weave. And I said, well, I have this idea for a warp that I want to put on there that'll be interesting. And you can just weave normally. Just do normal one up, down, back and forth weaving.
Mm-hmm.
And it'll look really pretty. And she's like, okay, let's do that.
I think art yarn would also look good.
I have some that's in my weaving box.
Huh.
Yeah, that's bizarre. But I think we'll weave into something really interesting.
Excellent.
I just have to plan it out a little better. You know what I mean? I have to mm-hmm. think it through.
I'm scarred from my weaving at school. It turned out so miserable.
A lot of the stuff didn't match that you were doing. So if you're not set up correctly, it's not going to work correctly, in my opinion.
The girls in my group did the initial weaving with paper.
Mm-hmm.
And it looked so good.
Mm-hmm.
Because you could see.
But your warp was super skinny.
Yeah.
And your weft was super fat.
Yeah. Well,
yeah.
It was disappointing all around.
It was not the effect you were going for.
I had hoped to make a
mug rug.
A mug rug or mm-hmm. something out of it. And
it didn't work out that way?
It's too ugly.
Okay. Well, sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't.
Yes.
Some of my weaving was not the best work I have ever done, which is why you don't see it. I think I may have composted it because it was wool.
Oh.
Like, it was that bad. It just went to the worms. It's probably at the bottom of the compost heap right now, living its best wormy life. So that's the weaving that I've been working on. And you have more. You have a little bit more, right?
Yeah, the sock I had finished for Andrew with some of your yarn for the toes mm-hmm. because I ran out. You grafted it.
Mm-hmm.
And now all I have to do is weave in the ends.
Oh, excellent.
So that is done. And as I complained already, I have naked needles.
Oh, no. As we say in our house.
Yes.
So I'm still plugging away on the body of my I'll Be Gnome for Christmas pullover that I'm knitting in black Trillium fibers. And I'm almost at the armholes still. I have not worked on this a whole bunch this week, but it's kind of been the thing I've been dragging around in my purse for the time being, which is excellent because I'm just knitting in circles endlessly, which I love
mm-hmm.
for a drag-along project. You've got more. I'm seeing more in your notes.
Yes. I have been working on the Cocoa Knits Verena cardigan pattern, and I have Knit Companion to help me keep my place.
Mm-hmm.
And I started the shoulder increases, and I think I have the right shoulder increases done.
Excellent. That sounds pretty good.
Yes.
We had knitting club this week. Oh, do you want to talk about anything else before we talk about knitting club?
I can talk about other things. So there was no progress on the striped Elton,
mm-hmm.
my bad. And I was working on a sock blanket
mm-hmm.
out of leftover, no, not a sock blanket, a leftover blanket out of sock yarn.
Got it.
Ages ago.
Mm-hmm.
I dug that out and I couldn't find the instructions.
Hmm. I bet we can look for what the pattern is in the show notes.
I don't remember what the pattern is.
No, I'll check in the show notes.
Thank you.
Yeah.
And yes, so I've been working on that and listening to an audiobook.
Mm-hmm.
And it was so good.
Mm-hmm.
I was so happy. And it seems when I'm feeling better,
mm-hmm.
I do more knitting.
Yep.
As opposed to sitting on the couch and noodling around on my phone.
When I was going to therapy more regularly before the kids, one of the measures of how I was doing was how much I was knitting. Like my doctor would say.
How many knitting groups did you attend?
How many knitting groups did you attend? Have you been knitting this week? And it was really excellent to have a mental health practitioner who paid attention.
Yeah.
And picked up on the fact that when I wasn't feeling good, I kind of snailed and didn't knit very much. So there's that. Speaking of things that were super fun.
Yes.
And knitting groups.
Yes.
I dragged, when I say dragged, I mean mom jumped in front of my car on the way to school. And we went to knitting class. She came to be an extra pair of adult hands at knitting club at Genevieve and Rex's school. And I talked about it last time. Do you want to talk about your experience with knitting club?
I really enjoyed the energy.
Mm-hmm. And it was a rainy day recess.
Rainy day recess, yes. And I got directed to the crochet station.
Mm-hmm.
And I started with trying to show the kids how to do a slip knot.
Mm-hmm.
And that was not very successful.
Mm-mm.
And then we, if it doesn't work, pivot.
Yep.
So we decided to do finger knitting.
Mm-hmm. Because we ran out of needles, too. I went and bought all the needles, which I talked about last week.
Yes, you did.
And we still ran out of needles. Because they're, and it's not that we're letting everyone take their stuff home with them. It's that we had so many kids. We must have had 20 first graders in the younger group.
It was very busy.
It was extreme. It was so good, though. It was like the best energy, and everyone was really excited. And they refer to my Swift and my ball winder as the distraction machine. Because nobody can pay attention to their work when I'm winding yarn.
Mm.
So that might be everyone's favorite part of yes. Knitting Club, in case you're wondering.
And the other gal you roped into.
Okay, to be fair, I help with her club on Wednesdays. And since she's a good friend, and she's part of our knitting group.
Yes.
So she offered to help with my group. And it's not transactional. She asked me to help with her thing. And then when we were discussing organizing and stuff with the principal and it came up, she's like, oh, I'll come help with your thing. So it worked very well. And it's fun.
I got so emotionally charged. It was so good for me.
Yeah.
Yeah, they can learn knitting, but what do I get out of it? I get the high from hanging out with prospective knitters.
It's not just that, though. So there's been all this research done about how when small children and older people
mm-hmm.
spend time together, it's mutually beneficial.
Absolutely.
Like the kids do better, and the older people, they don't decline as quickly, and they do better. Like it keeps them sharp.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a bunch, every time that article goes around on Facebook about like how babysitting helps grandparents stay sharp.
Yes.
Like, that's another side of it,
though. You send it to me and
every time, I'm like, you're welcome, Mom.
Yeah.
So
that was really good. And your friend said that when she was doing it, she had one kid on each side,
mm-hmm.
sitting on each side of her as she was demonstrating.
Mm-hmm.
And I think maybe next week we will do that,
yeah.
The problem was I had six.
Yes. I'm going to see on the social medias if anybody who perhaps has a more open schedule would like to come and assist.
Teach finger knitting, for starters.
I have to learn how to finger knit in order to teach finger knitting. The reason I wasn't teaching it is because I don't know how.
While I was
subbing. And now my dirty secret has come out, Mom.
While I was subbing,
mm-hmm.
a class of fifth graders taught me.
Oh, clever.
Yeah.
Clever, clever. All right. So yeah, it was really fun. And the kids are really excited. I let a couple of my repeat students take their work home. And this is an experiment. We let, I think, 4 or 5 kids take their stuff home.
Did you write down who took their stuff home?
No, I know who they are.
These
are kids that I have personal relationships with. Like they're Rex's friends or Genevieve's friends. So,
okay.
For example, one of them.
Mm-hmm.
Was the friend who came and picked up materials because they were so excited to work on their stuff. So it's fine. We'll see how it goes. I suggested when they're done working on it at home to, instead of putting it somewhere else, to put it directly in their backpack. So
oh,
they have
good
it there.
Idea.
Mm-hmm. So we'll see how that goes.
Yes.
We will see. So yeah, that is it for On the Needles. Do you have more?
No, and that's what I'm doing one day a week during lunch.
Excellent. Let's move on to the next segment. But first, a quick word from our sponsors. Are you feeling disgruntled about your knitting collection? Are you browsing Instaham looking for knitting inspiration? Is color kind of a pig deal in your life? Oink Pigments offers over 140 picture-perfect colorways to make you squeal with delight. For a limited time only, bring home the bacon with code KNITMORE and get 15% off in-stock yarns and fibers at oinkpigments.com. Shop soon because these pigs will fly. You can find links to Oink Pigments along with everything else we've talked about in this week's episode in the show notes. Mother dearest.
Lovey.
What's going on?
So, Romjule is over.
Romjule.
Mm-hmm. And I didn't finish my project.
I don't think we really had to. Oh, you know what?
What?
We did have to. So now Gemma has to come over and personally punish us for not finishing our Romjule projects. And oh dear, woe is us. Dear, oh dear.
Yes, except you didn't pay attention because it goes till March.
Oh, it doesn't? It goes till March?
Yeah.
Well, she'll still have to come punish us.
You have till March to finish your stuff.
She'll still have to come punish us.
That sounds
which is hilarious because we don't do punishment in our house. We don't do rewards or punishment. But that's a parenting thing, which we'll talk about later.
Yes.
Somewhere else. So we're not finished yet, but we still have time from what you just said.
Did you finish anything?
Not for that. I finished weaving stuff this week.
Yeah.
And I'm still kind of plugging along in the other ones, mm-hmm. but the weaving has kind of absorbed my time because it's cold and because I want you to be able to wear them while it's cold.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you go back and forth, you need a little something.
Yes.
And you might as well have something that is elegant. And what do they say in the fashion world? It goes from daytime to nighttime seamlessly. All you have to change is the, I don't know, whatever.
Your shoes.
Shoes, color of your lipstick, hairstyle.
And your earrings.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
You knew that.
No. I'm breaking all of the rules. And I say rules in quotes, like, mm-hmm. oh, women over 30 shouldn't wear red lipstick. You know what I bought a lot of this year?
Red lipstick.
Red lipstick.
What color are you supposed to wear? Blue?
Well, I mean, I'm pretty sure that they frown on wearing black, blue, and purple lipstick as well, because whoever made these rules has no sense of joy. But I think, I don't know, it's just garbage. And there's a great meme where they're like, 20 things you shouldn't wear over the age of 30, or like 30 things you shouldn't wear. And it's the weight of other people's expectations all the way down.
Yeah.
And I thought that was great, because every time I hear one of those, like, oh, women over 40 shouldn't have their upper arms exposed. Hello, I just got art on one of my upper arms. You got to share that.
Yeah.
So anyway, this has very little to do with Romjule or anything else. But yes, I wanted you to look elegant. They match your new coat perfectly that you sewed last year.
I did.
And even if they didn't, I have two or three coats that don't fit me right now, but would fit you.
I'll take them off your hands.
As long as you keep them somewhere safe, that's fine with me. You have to wear them, though.
Yeah. I'm thinking I need a dress to go under.
The wraps? Like a fancy dress? Or just like a day dress?
Day dress.
Okay. We'll figure it out.
Excellent.
You should have Genevieve help you pick a style. She has a really good eye for it. And I'm not biased because I think she's great at everything, but when she looks at stuff, like if we're watching TV or I'm flipping through on Pinterest looking for something.
Remember the wool dresses that had the 100-day contest?
I don't care for the shape of those.
They come in different shapes.
The ones I have seen are not built for people like us. You and I are mm-hmm. built the same way. I am currently an hourglass and you are currently a 30-second glass, but we are still, if you look at the proportions, we are still the same shape.
I'm A-shaped.
Yes, but you still have a bust, you still have a waist, and you have hips. Just yes. because your hips are wider than your bust and your waist doesn't mean you don't have a waist or a bust. But when it comes down to these things, I look at the shape and it doesn't appeal to me. And a few years ago, remember when wide belts were really, really in?
Yes, when I was a teenager.
Also about 15 years ago, I want to say.
Oh, okay.
Before kids. And you could take a loose and flowy dress.
It was the age of the mini skirts when I first encountered them.
Mm-hmm.
And my cousin had a really wide belt
mm-hmm.
and wore it with a skirt that was showing as much as the belt was.
Oh, goodness. I mean, that's super hot, yes. But
yeah, we were teenagers.
Good for you. Live it up.
She did. I wasn't allowed to.
Good for her. She should live it up. No, the thing I was thinking is because you could take a fairly shapeless dress, throw a wide belt on it, and it was like this a quick and easy way to turn a completely shapeless shirt dress into like a fit and flare dress.
Yes, absolutely.
Which look fantastic on us both.
They do.
So that's kind of where I was with that.
Yes.
So if we could still find a wide belt that worked, you could totally pull that off. But
you need to look at my belts. I think I have something.
I might have some too. I don't think I got rid of all my wide belts.
Okay.
I will dig through my belt drawer, which is funny because I wear one belt all the time.
Yep.
But I have a drawer of belts now. But anyway, we should look over this with our local fashion expert.
Yes.
On it. You know what's really funny?
Mm-hmm.
Slightly related, slightly off tangent. I was walking with Genevieve and I had asked her opinion on something.
Mm-hmm.
And the way she said it was something like, well, I wouldn't do it. I wouldn't wear that. But it's up to you. You can wear whatever you want. And I was like, Genevieve, it is your job to keep me from looking outdated. Like, you are young and you know what looks nice and what looks dated. I'm going to take your, I'm asking you because I want your opinion. And she goes, okay, well, that one then. Which was very helpful. But I was like, this is your job to make sure. If nothing else, make sure that I don't look out of date. Gramsy too, but you know, mostly me. So,
okay.
That was a lot of talk that was completely unrelated to Romuald. We will also be attending Stitches West in Sacramento in March.
When is that in March?
A Thursday to a Sunday.
Because we have
other stuff.
Yeah, a spring equinox is coming up.
It never lines up with spring equinox.
Good.
It's usually that first, last year it was that first weekend in March.
First weekend in March is okay. That's not spring equinox.
I'm glad it works for you.
Okay.
All right. Is that it for events?
That's it for events.
And tangents?
We didn't get all the tangents covered.
No promises. But let's move on to the next segment. But first, a word from our sponsors. Carry your creativity with Erin Lane bags. Whether you show your fiber fandom with the Woolly Wonder Sheepleverse or dive into history with the Curiosities Collection, our project bags, totes, and hook and needle organizers are at the ready to keep your hobby happy. You can find links to Erin Lane, along with everything else we've talked about in this week's episode, in the show notes.
For Mother Knows Best, I have a suggestion for you.
Love it.
Ride the inspiration train.
Okay. Do you want to start or should I start?
You start.
So I really feel like when you're excited about something, I don't feel this way. This is how it works for me.
Mm-hmm.
The momentum Ditto. Keeps you going.
Yes.
And stopping to do something you feel obligated to do really puts the brakes on. Abruptly. Mm-hmm. And it's hard to pick that momentum up. But I find that doing, and this has to do with creative work. It also has to do with everything else in our lives. I'm trying to do this goal setting thing that I heard about from an acquaintance. And it's basically like every 13 weeks, you set a goal and then you do a thing. And it's small bites, like mm-hmm. we've talked about before.
Right.
But with measurable deliverables is what I would call it if it was work. So like the first week, if I wanted to clean my house,
mm-hmm.
I would say go through one box each week in the house that's like full of stuff. A panic box is what sometimes it's called in the organizing world. I will link to what a panic box is in the show notes. But I go through one box a week, and then the goal would be have no boxes in the house or no panic boxes left. Because if you go through one box, it's not overwhelming. Or what I have been doing is going through stuff that's like half full.
Mm-hmm.
And if I don't feel like dealing with it, I combine half full things so that I don't have two things sitting out visually.
Yes.
And it works. And while I'm going through them and moving them over, I'm usually tossing stuff or recycling stuff or putting it in the donate pile. And I have found a lot of things that we are done with. And it's feeling really good to do that. And for me, once I'm going, mm-hmm. it's easier to keep going.
You so have my goal, momentum.
I do. And so the goal might be do one box a week.
Mm-hmm.
But that doesn't mean I can't do 10 boxes if I'm feeling it.
It's a minimum of one box a week. And if you've gone through one box and still have momentum,
mm-hmm.
You might as well.
Might as well ride that momentum train.
Yeah.
So that's something I'm trying to get more of now that I'm kind of moving more and doing different stuff. I don't know if I would say more, but definitely different. But that's what I was thinking about this morning, because I'm reading the technique that this particular thing uses. And I'll talk about it once I actually have formed a full opinion on it. So it's an interesting way of looking at things. And sometimes you just need a reframe to help you get where you're going. So that's really exciting for me, both for around the house stuff, both and professional stuff for the podcast and creative stuff and all the stuff. Like, I'm even, it has to do with reading too right now. I've been reading plays, which I talked about a few weeks ago.
Yes.
But in the last couple of weeks, I have discovered that BBIMP, which is the preferred acronym as opposed to BIPOC, because what I learned is BIPOC was coined by white people. And BBIMP stands for Black, Brown, Indigenous, Melanated People. And so now you've learned that.
What is the acronym again?
BBIMP. BIBIMP.
BIBIMP.
Doesn't flow as well, but we'll make it work.
Yes.
But a lot of these playwrights, the ones that I'm interested in reading, who are my contemporaries, and like, I'm not 20. I'm a full-grown adult. I'm 40. They're not little kids. Why can't I find their stuff? It's not as easily accessible from any of the four library systems that I'm a member of. And you can judge me for being the member of four library systems, and I don't mind. But for the most part, it's so much easier to find stuff from people who are already well-known as opposed to up-and-comers.
Yeah.
So that's where I've been spending my money, is I'm buying, like, the scripts from... I found a Persian-American playwright. Oh, her stuff is so good. You're going to love it. And she's from L.A., but she also does stuff in New York. She had something, I think, 2 weeks after I left New York, and I'm so bummed to miss it, but it looks like I'm following her now. I'll keep you in the loop. But I couldn't find any of her stuff at any of the libraries. And I even, like, I search other library systems in other parts of the country, and I couldn't find one at the New York Public Library, which has a ton of this stuff. So I just was thinking about that as far as...
Try LA.
I will.
Because LA has a lot of talent, Hollywood, and a very great
Persian population.
Persian population.
Yeah. But I'm looking at that and it was like, okay, so I have to pay for these because they're not mainstream. And some of them are self-published and they've been performed on major stages and yet they have to be self-published. It just...
Yes.
It's really frustrating to that idea where, like, privilege begets privilege. And if you are a talented person, but you don't have that institutional
knowledge.
No, it's not even the institutional knowledge, but like the ins, the side door. They, in this area, to get a job at a tech company, someone used to refer to it as the Silicon Valley side door. You had to know someone to get a job at one of those places. So anyway.
There's lots of things I'm not aware of because I wasn't raised here.
Exactly. I was talking to another friend about that. But when it comes to inspiration, I keep finding, because I'm reading this thing, I find it leads me to this other thing. And it is very if you give a mouse a cookie, but in the best way. So that is inspiration tied for life stuff, creative stuff, expanding your mind stuff. Intellectual stuff, rather. You know what I'm saying? And I'm kind of just trying to... That's what I'm doing right now. That's part of my more is... Instead of just a tide, I feel like it's an inspiration tsunami right now. You know what I mean? All right. Do you have anything else to add?
I should ride on your coattails.
You can ride on my surfboard or my floaty. And my floaty for the inspiration tsunami has little cup holders for our cocktails.
Oh, love. Perfect.
That's how we ride the tsunami.
Perfect.
All right. Anything else?
And that doesn't have anything to do with the weather.
No.
which is very rainy and lovely.
Correct.
Yes.
All right, shall we move on?
Mm-hmm.
It's when knitting attacks.
Mother dearest.
Lovey.
How goes your knitting this week?
I was attacked. So I looked at the bit of the Verena that is my Romule project.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't like how the neck increases had turned out.
Mm-hmm. Understandable. Because there was something wrong with it, right?
There was something wrong. So I got tired of stressing over it, and I didn't like it, and I wouldn't have liked it 10 rows from now.
And in case you're wondering, when we say this stuff on the podcast, we absolutely say these things to each other at home. Or to ourselves, depending. Because Mom actually turned to me and she goes, I don't like this. And I'm not, if I don't like it today, it's not going to get any better. So
I ripped it back.
Congrats.
Thank you. Also, I had a hard time finding the size I had started. Yes, because there was something I didn't do right on the Knit Companion.
But I showed you how to do highlighting.
Yes.
Which is a great place to start.
Absolutely. So, little by little.
Yeah, that's how I've been learning.
Yeah. And so I reworked the upper back section of the cardigan.
Mm-hmm.
And somehow I ended up with one stitch too many.
Okay.
Yeah.
You can make it disappear.
Yes.
We have ways of making stitches disappear.
I undid the last decrease on the edge of the row.
Perfect.
So that was that. And this, I've done a lot of cocoa knit sweaters.
Mm-hmm. I bet you could look through her catalog and check off how many you've done.
This is not challenging. They never were challenging. This one.
The construction's different, though, on this one, right?
Yeah.
There you are.
And it's challenging me.
I remember you ripping that cabled one back a few times.
Did I?
I think so.
Hmm.
Our listeners have way better memories than I do. Someone will say, oh yeah, she ripped back 7 times.
Anyway, I was sitting there with a Knit Companion on iPad and the Sweater Workshop book open.
Mm-hmm.
And me knitting between the two of them, flipping back and forth, mm-hmm. looking up stuff.
Did it help?
Yeah.
Okay.
It did.
Good.
So one shoulder is done. One shoulder increase.
One side?
One side.
So you've got a cold shoulder sweater at the moment. A single asymmetrical cold shoulder.
No, you do the shoulder shaping one at a time.
Okay, yeah.
So.
Cool, cool. All right.
And that was challenging, and I only could manage one. And I can't have a podcast going, and I can't listen to music. I need to pay attention, mm-hmm. focus, and read the instructions out loud.
I know the feeling.
Yeah.
Been there.
Yes.
All right. Is that it for knitting attacks?
That's it for knitting attacks.
Let's move on to the next segment. But first, a word from our sponsors. Have you ever had to frog because you forgot a step several rows back, or lost your spot because you dropped your magnet board or lost track with your highlighter tape? Instead of wrestling with paper, use the Knit Companion app. It keeps you on track so you can knit more and frog less. Knit Companion works with all your patterns and is available for Apple, Android, and Kindle Fire devices. You can find links to Knit Companion along with everything else we've talked about in this week's episode in the show notes. This is Knit More, Know More, a segment about Persian culture, history, or just generally cool stuff about Persian people. All right, Mom.
Yes, lovey.
Let's talk. Okay. You talk. Sorry.
So, protests are still ongoing. Mm-hmm. There were protests in Strasbourg and Sacramento and Berlin.
This is
week
10 or 11 of the protests in Iran, right?
Over 100 days now.
Okay. We should keep track of that for our
yes.
listeners. Okay. And in lighter stuff because we try to alternate.
Yes.
Things like that. This came up because it's been cold this week.
Mm-hmm.
And I use terms of endearment, Persian terms of endearment for my kids.
Mm-hmm.
And also when it's cold, like crop tops that don't cover your lower back will give your kidneys a chill according to Persian culture. And I was thinking, like, how strange. Because the term of endearment I use for the kids usually is jigaram.
Liver.
My liver.
Yes.
And so I wanted you to talk about...
Kidney is not jigar.
No, but it's all like innards.
Yes.
Critical systems.
And the most delicious parts of the animal.
Of course. So why don't you go on and talk about chilling your kidneys and liver.
I think it's homeopathic.
Mm-hmm.
And keeping your belly, your baby's belly and your baby's kidneys covered and warm has always been important.
Mm-hmm. I just think it's funny because every time my shirt peeked out of my pants a little bit, someone, an adult person in our house, would say, "Your kidneys will catch cold."
That must have been me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes. I wasn't going to narc, but, you know, when you outed yourself, I'm not going to lie to the listeners.
That's fine. Liver, jigar, mm-hmm. is also a term of endearment.
Mm-hmm.
And the funniest rendition of that I have heard was a dubbed cartoon of Donald Duck quacking at some female duck.
Daisy Duck?
Persibly,
yeah.
Persibly, and calling her Jigartalo.
My golden liver!
Yes, you like that.
That's so sweet!
Isn't it, though?
Yeah. Sometimes the nuance just doesn't really translate.
You didn't get it right either.
No?
No. I think it was like a holla kind of thing.
Oh, like cat calling?
Possibly.
Mm.
Duck call?
Okay. So it's just a nice thing. I don't know if I've mentioned this on the podcast, but I had a manager who I worked for.
Mm-hmm.
At my last more traditional job. And he had a Persian girlfriend at some juncture, mm-hmm. who taught him beautiful Farsi.
Oh, lovely.
Yeah. And so he stopped and said something. And it was like, okay, technically borderline inappropriate for work.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the nuance was missed. Like, these were nice things to say, but the way he said them was like, very lovey-dovey.
Huh.
And I was at first I was taken aback, and then I answered because it was a very nice thing. Like, he told me I looked nice or something like that, but it was like, it wasn't quite, "Hey baby, you look nice," but it was just very flowery, poetic language, and it stopped me in my tracks. And I was like, wow, he
in Farsi?
In Farsi.
Huh.
Yeah, I wish I could remember exactly what it was, but I was so startled. Because I, first of all, was not expecting that at all. Not only the Farsi, but like the beautiful flowery language. And part of me was like, I should tell him that that's not work appropriate. But the other part of me is like, no, this is fantastic. Like, this is beautiful language. And I'm not going to like knock him down. I'm not going to hurt his feelings or take the wind out of his sails.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I like it. Liver. Kidneys. Duck calling.
Mm-hmm.
Is that all we have for Knitmore No More?
Do we want to talk about more awful that is lovely?
If you would like to.
In our culture, if an animal is slaughtered, you eat everything and you don't waste any because mm-hmm. protein is scarce.
But also there are, depending on if they are Muslim or not Muslim, there are rules about what parts can be consumed. I think. I will have to consult with our local Muslim.
You do that.
Okay.
We would slaughter a sheep. Well, we would have a butcher come into the house and slaughter a sheep.
Not in the house.
in the backyard.
Yes.
Because my dad went on the Hajj.
Mm-hmm. It's a religious
pilgrimage.
Thank you.
To Mecca. And if you have gone on the Hajj, you're also required to once a year slaughter a sheep.
Mm-hmm.
And give the meat to the needy.
Mm-hmm.
So the butcher, and the animal can't be upset.
Yeah, there are rules about how this can be done. And if you're interested in that, you can Google it. But I feel like because we have little people listening, we're not going to go into too much detail. If you want to share that with your kids, it's totally okay. But we're not going to decide that for you.
They have to have a drink of water.
Mm-hmm.
And then they are humanely slaughtered.
Mm-hmm.
And then butchered.
Mm-hmm.
And there are also rules of what you cannot keep.
Mm-hmm.
And the good parts of the animal have to go to the needy.
Mm-hmm.
And we ended up keeping the tripe.
Mm-hmm. Yum.
Well, it was a job and a half to
We're not going to talk about that, but no, yum.
That was nasty. But yeah, we have our own recipe for making tripe.
Mm-hmm. It's so good.
What is it called in Spanish?
Menudo.
Menudo, yes. And their liver,
mm-hmm,
and all the innards, mm-hmm, are... They make excellent... Liver makes excellent kebab.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Oh, if you want to look up the tripe soup, it's called sirabi. We'll link to it in the show notes. We have people who are looking stuff up.
Is there a recipe for tripe soup?
I'm sure there is. Hmm. There's all kinds... I always start with Google. If I have a question or if I'm wondering if something exists, I Google it. That's always my first step if I don't already know. So, I hope you are all as hungry as we left you last week, craving pickled garlic. But right now, it seems like we've come to the end of our row. This week, we'd like to thank Knit Companion, Erin Lane Bags, Oink Pigments, our supporters, but most importantly, you, our listeners. Absolutely everything, and I mean everything, we've talked about in this week's episode can be found at the show notes, which are located at knitmoregirlspodcast.com. You can send any comments, questions, or feedback to me, Jasmine, Jasmin, at knitmoregirlspodcast.com.
Or to me, Gigi, Gigi, at knitmoregirlspodcast.com.
You can find us on all social media as KnitMoreGirls, and you can also find us on all your favorite audio platforms. If you're enjoying the podcast, please subscribe, leave us a 5-star rating, a review, and best of all, tell a friend. Remember, this is Jasmine
and Gigi
telling you to knit more.